What is my ultimate fate before God? Am I saved or am I damned? When I die, will I go to heaven or am I bound for hell? This is the very question that I'm called to wrestle with by this morning's scripture passage. This passage which ends with a sentence that has been more influential on my faith than any other single sentence in the Bible. Am I saved? The Bible says this: work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for God's good pleasure. Am I saved or am I damned? Well, this passage claims something rather remarkable. My ultimate fate before God is out of my hands. Salvation is a matter for God alone. And what I do or say or believe is really irrelevant. Whether I pray or I don't, whether I seek to alleviate the suffering of the world or whether I actively add to it, whether I worship God in devotion or I curse God's name in bitterness, it doesn't count one bit toward my salvation. It does not add or subtract a single penny from some heavenly retirement fund that ensures that I shall spend eternity in good graces. Now, it's not that there's something wrong with the way that I live. It's just that I simply am not all that important in the grand scheme of things. My choices are not so shot through with eternal significance as I might prefer. You see, it is God who is at work in my life. And it is God who has made me as I am. That is the problem. If I do what is pleasing to God, that is only because God is working in me. God has enabled me to do that good thing. My good deeds are to God's credit, not mine. Even when I desire to do what is pleasing to God, the will to do what is good, that is God's will, not mine. My desire to do good, that is a testament to the goodness of God who has created me. That is to say, that my ultimate fate before God is not up to me, it's up to God. It is as if God were a potter, and we're making pottery at the wheel. And I am the clay. Whether the earthen vessel that the potter is making is good or bad, whether it is useful or useless, the credit goes to the potter, not to the clay. Whether what is made is bound for some honorable purpose or really will turn out to be good for nothing, that is up to the potter. It is not up to the clay. What shall become of it? I live my life the way I do because this is the way that God has made me. And if I stray very far from my most basic impulses to live in ways that are somewhat exceptional, I do so only because it is God who is working and stretching me. I can do nothing to buy my way into heaven with good deeds or become odious in God's sight because of fell deeds. I am at the mercy of God, and God will be justified in doing whatever God chooses with me in eternity. God does not owe me anything. Nor can I, by virtue of my righteousness, put God into my debt. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for God's good pleasure. If I am at the mercy of God, what do I know? What do I know about this God in whose hands my ultimate fate rests? Is this God angry or tyrannical? Is this God capricious or arbitrary? Is this the kind of being who would create me as a creature capable of knowing something of goodness, something of the divine, and then show indifference to my fate, or worse, prove to be hostile or cruel? What do I know about this God? I read of God, that God had a son, one and only one son, So close to God's heart was he that God and God's Son were one being. They were one essence, united from before there ever was a world. God's Son could do anything in a way that I cannot understand what it means to be able to do anything, because my mind is limited to imagining only those things which might possibly be. And deciding upon the limits of possibility is precisely part of what it means to be God. And this Son of God, who could do anything, what did he choose to do? The Son of God chose to dwell among us. The Son was born as a human child to be named Jesus, which means God's salvation. And Jesus was born not to be a king or a tyrant or a man of power, not someone to wield influence, not someone who insisted upon being worshipped, but as a poor man from a poor nation. And he lived his life as a servant of those who were deemed unworthy of care by society. And this Jesus was known to be able to do remarkable things, unbelievable things. But the circumstances under which he would work his miracles were so very odd. The miracles of Jesus were always things like healing people whose diseases had left them cast out of society, or feeding poor and hungry people, or delivering the vulnerable from danger. He would do inexplicable things, but only for the benefit of others, and never to further himself. He could speak with irresistible power, but only did so for the instruction of those who sought truth, and never to glorify himself. Yet even so, even though he was humble, even though he was good, even though he was a servant of the vulnerable, even so, he was arrested and he was put in mortal danger for no greater crime than threatening the pettiness and small-mindedness of those whose comfort relied upon the deprivation of others, those whose pride relied upon the degradation of others. He was put in chains and threatened with death. Perhaps this was why the Son of God came to dwell among us, as a test. Perhaps this was a test, ultimately, of what humanity's fate was, whether humanity is worthy. A test of what humanity would do were God to fall into their hands, rather than the other way around. And if it were a test, if the life of Jesus were a test, then humanity proved a filthy failure. It was a cruel decision that was made, unjust and motivated by fear. It showed humanity at its worst. And yet, even as he was dying a cruel death, reserved only for those who were judged to be worthless, even at that moment, Christ Jesus prayed God's love for humanity down upon the world. Christ made of the cross an opportunity to pour his life out like a libation before God, poured out like wine on a sacrificial fire. God's love in Christ flared up like a prayer at a moment that revealed the very worst of human nature. Christ forgave humanity of the worst affront that is imaginable. And in that prayer, there was forged an unbreakable chain binding humanity to God forever. That is what God is like. That is the same God. That is the very same God in whose hands my ultimate fate rests. Am I saved or am I damned? Am I going to heaven or am I bound for hell? Nothing so small as my own actions decides that question. Something far greater has already spoken. My ultimate fate is not up to me. It was was decided by Christ. And God in Christ Jesus chose to value humanity even more than his own life, even though he is equal to God. And because he is one with God, Christ has decided my fate. Ultimately, eternally, unchangeably, my fate is salvation. My destiny is to become one with God, just as Christ is one with God. Eternity is my home, and every day that I live draws me one day closer to my home at the very heart of God. And it is not only me. It is not only me whom Christ has claimed. There is nothing that differentiates my fate from any other person's. Not by the way that I have lived, not by the things that I have come to believe. My small mind and my smaller faith have understood and claimed a tiny sliver of God's goodness. That is true. But that faith does not make me worthier than another. I believe because it gives God pleasure that I should believe, and God made me so that I do. Now, with my short life and my hard heart, I have relieved some small portion of suffering in the world. That is true. But those good deeds do not make me more beloved of God than another. I have done good because it gives God pleasure that I should do so, and made me that I might. All of humanity, from the high to the low, from the gracious to the wicked, from those who live a century's span to those who only draw a breath or two before their eyes dim. All of humanity shares one and only one ultimate fate. We are saved and claimed and redeemed for God by the goodness of Jesus Christ. Because of the grace of God alone, we are saved, and we will be one with God, just as Christ is one with God. And at eternity's dawning, when all of humanity is arrayed before God, face to face, understanding with open eyes, seeing clearly, undimmed, the fullness of what Christ has done, every knee shall bend, in heaven above and on earth below and under the earth. Every knee shall bend, and all of us shall fall to our knees, not in subjugation, but trembling, with amazement and devotion and joy and praise.